Blog Talk Radio.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
Things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God, my life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Everybody, and welcome to Islam Exposed. And this is a brand new program. This is our pilot program that you're listening to. And the panelists are Kel Fritzy, Tim Burton, and Agador. We are going to expose the underbelly of Islam and assure you that we will get them where they live. In their evil, evil hearts. I have a theory about Islam. Before I bring on the panelists, I want to explain to you who I am. I'm Kel Fritzy. I'm a counter-jihadist. I fight Islam every single bloody day. One of the mission statements of this program is going to see that our respective governments de-index Islam as a religion and recognize it as a political entity. This is what we're going to strive to do on this program in particular, Thursdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Brand new show, brand new perspectives, brand new insights, and brand new angles. We are up to our neck in alligators with Islam. Islam is an entity that has to go. I'm missing one of the panelists, but I do have the other panelist here, and that's Agador. And hi, Agador. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very fine, Kel. I hope you're doing well. It's a beautiful day here in Burlington, Vermont. And It's very appropriate that this is our pilot program. We have all sorts of jets flying overhead here. And yeah, we're missing our other panelist. He went to Wales, and I don't know, maybe he brought one home and he's tired because he had to drag it in the house. I'm thinking though, you talk about Islam, and you know, it just occurred to me, there are people out there who say that the United States of America and, by extension, sometimes the West are the world's bully. Well, you know, I like to look at Islam as the world's bully. They're the ones who insinuate themselves into other nations, a few at a time, and then several at a time, and then hundreds and then thousands at a time. And then they're the ones who insist that everyone bow to their Sharia law and their way of doing things. And if they don't, then they put murderous vengeance on them. So I think the new world's bully has to be Islam. That's how I look at it. And you introduced yourself. You said you were a counter-jihadist. And I think I'm a budding counter-jihadist. You know, a lot of counter-jihadists are my buds. yeah, you saw what I did there, didn't you? But, you know, also, I want to say we have Vito Esposito in the chat box here. Very excellent counter-jihadist, and I hope people will listen to his show here on Blog Talk Radio because he's always got great information. Good on you, Vito. Glad to see you here, brother. Yeah, this is a new show, and what we've got here is a triumvirate from three different countries, three different perspectives on the same problem, that is the big bully of Islam. I'll try and bring an American perspective. You've got the Canadian in there, Kel, and Tim Burton, when he does show up, will bring in the view from the United Kingdom. And I think we're going to have a really good time.
And I totally agree with that. I believe that Tim is running an errand, and he may be joining us shortly. I am excited about this new venture. And what we're going to do, our format is going to be, of course, we will be discussing the evil entity called Islam. But we're also going to be holding our politicians, their feet to the fire. Our politicians aren't doing enough to combat the scourge in the West, and it's time that we did. And so Agador from the United States, me from Canada, Tim from Great Britain, collectively we are going to bring you the news, of course, but we are also going to concentrate on what our collective governments are doing to combat this. And Agador, how are things going with you in the United States? You're dealing with a whole lot of stuff going on there. I'm going to deviate a little bit from the issues of Islam because you guys have a real huge issue going on, and that is the open southern border. You are, and I don't, when I say you are, I mean that as a, once again, as a collective, in that Barack Hussein Sotero Obama is allowing all of these illegals to swim across that border. And what's going to happen is that I think he's going to try to demarcate the border and amalgamate Mexico into the United States. I don't know. Maybe that's my worst-case scenario thinking. But I know that you are getting all sorts of busloads coming across, and they're coming from South America in particular. What I worry about is ISIS, and that is the Islamic Society of Iraq and Syria. And I'm sorry, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They're going to take advantage of this brand new open border. How do you feel about what your usurper is doing.
Well, we got at this moment we've got them coming over in buses, we've got them flying over, and it's very fascinating to me to watch this unfold because Mexico is just letting these people from Central and South America come in, and one can't help but feel that this isn't by design. You know, the feeling here is that our president, in an attempt to gain more voting citizens or whatever for his own party, are just letting these people in so that they will do that. But what he's also letting in, and you've heard this said on other shows, are people that have just about every kind of physical ailment you can imagine. I've heard, in some instances, for instance, cases of people who have tuberculosis who are let in and then just let go. And if you're not familiar with tuberculosis, it is very contagious, and these people are just let go. This is how far our president will go in order to gain a voting bloc, and it gets even more sinister than that. Some of the younger people that are being put in detention centers now here in the States are being told God knows what, and it's been said that it's been informed that, for instance, pastors, preachers, people like that are not allowed to go in and talk to them. And even people from the United States Congress weren't allowed to go in and talk to them for several days. Now they are. Now they are, but they can't take any pictures. They can't talk to anyone there, and they can't make any recordings. Now, this is what Homeland Security is telling them. And I just saw this morning, before I had to go out and take care of some stuff, that John McCain was saying, well, we need to fix this problem and get off my lawn. And I have the perfect way to fix the problem. The people from the United States Congress can go in with their newfangled telephones that have cameras on them or with cameras, and they can take pictures and walk out with them. Problem fixed. Okay, this is an extremely big problem. It does link in with Islam, because they're just letting anyone in. It's not just the physical diseases that these people have. We're talking about people with all sorts of ideologies, and some of them are bound to be Islamists. I want to give a shout out here real quick to Ken McClinton, the exceptional conservative, who had a really good show a couple of nights ago talking about this very issue. Now, the people here, some of the people here who are for this, are beginning to term this not as immigration, but as a popular migration. Now, if you put it in those terms, it doesn't become about the law anymore here. What it becomes of, it becomes almost natural. It becomes almost something that you have to let happen, because it's not immigration anymore, it's migration. Oh, well, they're just migrants. Yeah, they're just migrants that are going to happen to come here and stay here and suckle off of our welfare system and steal jobs and do God knows what to the population of the United States of America and not be held accountable for it because they come from other cultures. Now, I know that sounds familiar to you, because there have been cases of this in other countries where Islamists, yeah, for instance, have abused people, and they've been let off very lightly with the excuse, oh, well, they come from another culture. So we have to allow them to go because they don't know any better. Now, it used to be that ignorance of the law was no excuse, but that's gone out the window. Yes, the problem here is the open borders in the United Kingdom and Europe squared and cubed. It is a migration, but I view it more as an invasion. And it's an invasion that our president is letting happen to, as he puts it, fundamentally transform the United States of America. And if this is allowed to continue without abatement, it is going to do serious damage to our country. And the American officials have been asked by the press if these people are going to be allowed to stay. And their answers have been anywhere from extremely evasive and none at all to a very vague position of yes, they will be allowed to stay. So, yes, the problem here in the United States is huge, and there are indications that they've been planning for this for months. It really is a fascinating, though horrible, thing to watch, because, yes, there will be some Islamists who will use this as an excuse to come into our country, and we will see very nasty things out of this, I think. Not just out of the illegal immigrants from these other countries, but from the Islamists that will come in as well. Our border to the south has become porous, and this puts Canada in danger, I will emphasize as well.
Yeah. Canada's getting fed up with this, because when Obama came into office, and I choke on those words. It really pains me to relate that. We noticed a large influx of Mexicans, in particular in southern Ontario, settling in the Niagara Falls area. And they come with nothing but the clothes on their backs, and they have no skills, and they cannot contribute to the Canadian fabric. And we have to take care of them. We have an obligation under the UN to care for these people. Like, there was a third safe country clause, but Canada is very, very concerned about this. The Canadian government is watching this very, very closely, because we're full up with the more ambitious swimmers, and enough is enough.
Well, yeah, I think that's basically it. I mean, any of our countries, regardless of the policies that they have towards welfare, have to take a realistic viewpoint towards immigration. And that's why there are so many who are against illegal immigration, because this overstresses our systems. Now, there is a theory that our president, President Obama, wants to overstress the system so that it can be wiped out and replaced with some kind of system that he likes. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that as moves like this happen, such as has happened over the past few weeks with this mass invasion, that brings a lot of that stuff out of the tinfoil hat area and into the area of plausibility, because I don't think any economist can look at this and say with a straight face that this is going to do the economy of the United States of America any good, nor is it going to do the economy of Canada any good, because they'll head up there too. You know,
They will. They will. They are. At one point, it was getting so bad that Canada slapped visas on Mexican travelers. We're trying desperately to keep this out of Canada. We are so concerned about the caliber of the South Central American immigrant that is arriving in the United States. They're arriving, like you say, tuberculosis, lice, scabies.
Scabies. Yep.
Unreal. What the United States is going to be influxed with.
Well, I showed you this video some time ago that someone took of one of these younger people that has crawled across the border, and they took a lice comb and combed out his head, and I could see the bugs moving on the lice comb after the guy was done.
Yeah.
I could see the bugs, and I'm the unpleasant blind guy. If the unpleasant blind guy can see lice moving like that, you know there's a problem. You know, this is a clear and present danger to the health of both of our nations. And this is what happens when you have a demi president who has a completely skewed and bizarre worldview and is trying to impose that on everyone else. I really feel very apprehensive for the people of the United States of America at this point with this going on. I really do, because this president is continuing with these, even though members of his own party are beginning to say, wait a minute, this is beginning to get to be too much. And that's a very fascinating fact there, Kel. Mm-hmm. Even some of the progressives here are beginning to go, okay, yeah, this is starting to be a bit much here. And what's with the secrecy? What's going on in these detention centers that congressmen can't even record what's happening? This really begins to stretch it to the point where not just people on the right, but people on the left are starting to look at this with a jaundiced eye.
Well, I'm really confused about Obama's ambitions. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what's going to happen in 2016 with the general elections. You guys have the by-elections coming up this year. But you guys are stuck with this person for the next 2 years all the same. Is he going to declare himself king, or what's he going to do? And what is his motivation for inviting all of these illegals into the United States?
Well, we know the motivation. And that is to overstress the system and to create more supporters for himself, because more people who come in who are poor and unskilled and expect nothing but welfare that he can get into this country, the more that he's going to have to vote for those very things. As for 2016, I think one of the best things that I've heard is that President Obama is going to be the Lenin for Hillary Clinton's Stalin. And that means for everyone, including people who support Hillary Clinton, because she's a woman and no, we've got to have that first woman president, by God. They have no idea what's ahead.
Hey, you had the first black president. Hey, why not the first woman president? And Obama's not even black. He's a mulatto.
Well, but the point is, though, that progressives love these firsts. That's why they've got Clinton lined up to be president, and probably one of the Castro brothers is going to be the one after that. I've been saying that for a long time, and I'm sticking with it. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah, yeah. One of them is already tapped to become a cabinet secretary. I forget which one. Which department he's going to be secretary of. I think it might be Health and Human Services. I'm not sure. But I see this coming, and I think that people who support Hillary Clinton now should take a real good look at what's going on, because it's only going to get worse. The United States of America could turn into a third world country within the next 5 years. This fundamental transformation could be completed, and guaranteed at that time, you're not going to see President Obama walking into an Obamacare clinic or anything like that. He's going to be sunning himself in his palace in Hawaii after this is done. I don't think he's going to declare himself king. I think he's got other ambitions. I think he's going to travel the world after this and make a lot of speeches, make a lot of money, and live extremely comfortably while his own people, the people of the United States of America, suffer. That's what I think is going to happen with Mr. Obama.
I am still captivated by his blatant open border policy. And I was reading a lot of stories about protesters, in particular in California. And there was another demonstration that took place in Mauritania, and five people were arrested just last Friday. And these are as dozens of demonstrators gathered again near a U.S. Border Patrol facility, and once again in Mauritania, in anticipation of the arrival of yet another group of undocumented immigrants. This is shocking to me that these people were arrested. I have some audio here, Agador. Let's play this and let's see what's going on.
Tensions continue to rise tonight in Murrieta over the issue of immigration. New busloads of undocumented women and children have arrived in Southern California, but it's unclear where they will be processed. Sarah Welch live for us in Murrieta tonight. Sarah?
Well, Michael, the protesters behind me have been waiting all day and night for those buses to arrive. Border Patrol agents won't confirm, but we've been told, or we're hearing rather, that those buses were diverted to a facility in San Ysidro. This follows a day of harsh words and even arrests over how to handle the nation's immigration crisis.
If you want it bad enough, you fight for it.
We love the kids, and we're here to support. As soon as you secure the borders, I think everybody would be happy.
Demonstrators on both sides of the immigration debate stood behind barriers outside the Border Patrol station set up by police to be sure if buses arrived, they would get through. Unlike Tuesday, when a crowd waving American flags blocked the three busloads of undocumented immigrants from entering the facility. It was another day of contentious verbal skirmishes and arrests. Police raced to an intersection along the blockaded road where a clash erupted between the two opposing groups.
There's two or three on the cop's back fighting with the cops.
She burned and ripped up an American flag and we ripped this off her pole.
The brawl started after a woman shredded American flags on the Border Patrol fence. She admitted to us she was proud of it.
The American flag now symbolizes imperialism throughout the entire world, and they can ask me all they want about the torn up flags, and I'm not ashamed of it.
The Constitution is non-negotiable.
These people are here illegally. They were let in illegally. I feel sorry for the kids, the sick kids and all that. Treat them and send them back home.
They're already here. We need an immigration reform. They're seeking asylum. Let them stay.
In all, there were five arrests today. Tonight, things have been peaceful. We want to mention we did see two people on opposing sides shaking hands after a heated debate. Many of the protesters behind us have told us they will stay here in Murrieta until Washington lawmakers listen and finally do something about this crisis. Back to you.
Unbelievable. And it's pronounced Murrieta. So thanks, Bigfoot, for that correction. I tend to put my Canadian spin on pronunciation there, Agador. But
I thought it was pronounced Murrieta, like in Georgia, but oh well.
This is very, very disturbing to me, in that is there no such thing as a peaceful protest and people being arrested? I have not seen any indication. I got this article from KTLA-5, and I've not seen any evidence that there was any violence going on, is that they were merely protesting. When those busloads started coming through a few weeks back, there were protesters blocking the buses, and they just rerouted the buses.
Well, you know, I first want to say the people who are blocking the buses coming in, you know, they're just great Americans. I'm absolutely in support of them. And I really do have to comment on the woman proud of shredding the American flags. Remember how I called Islam the world's bully at the start of this show?
Yeah.
I would love to drop that woman in Saudi Arabia and just say, okay, you know what, honey? You live here for, the next 5 years. And then talk to me about who's imperialist. All right. This she is the perfect exponent of the progressive left, probably watches nothing but NBC. If she reads any kind of newspapers, it's probably Mother Jones or some kind of crud like that. She's got the very opposite view of the United States of America. She certainly doesn't have any notion or idea of history, of who the real imperialist nations have been and who have supported the real imperialist nations. I mean, let's remember first who progressives have supported over the years. Certainly in the 20th century, you had a lot of progressives who supported Nazism. You had and still have a lot of progressives who support communism. And we all know what nations that espouse and have used those ideologies have done to their own people and to others. And for this woman to shred American flags and say that the American flag is a symbol of imperialism just shows her massive ignorance. And that's why we're here, and that's why we have to be here. We have to be here to bring the truth to people about Islam. This immigration issue is just one of the things that Islam can use to piggyback in on. Absolutely. And there are going to be people out there who we have to expose the truth to. And we have to tell these truths to people like progressives. Because we're going to, I know we have a lot of people on the right who are going to listen to this program. And here's the deal, guys. We have to get progressives on our side in this. And we can. We can easily get progressives on our side if progressives are shown that Islam threatens everything that they work for. I will bet you anything that the woman who shredded the American flags is a complete supporter of Islam. But it's people like her who need to be exposed to the truth of Islam, and that, Kel, my dear, is why we are here.
Oh, sorry, I muted myself. Exactly.
That's okay.
And I have another clip here, and this is really interesting. This is a Border Patrol agent, and the Obama administration is aiding and abetting and facilitating the smuggling of illegals into the U.S. And this Border Patrol agent, his name is Hector Garza, and he tells CNN that the federal government, a.k.a. the Obama administration, is aiding, abetting, and facilitating the smuggling of illegal aliens across the border. And yes, that's what they are, ladies and gentlemen. They are illegal aliens. After being questioned by the other guests, Garza goes on to explain that what he means by aiding and abetting is that the federal government is just taking the information of these illegals and telling them to report back to an immigration hearing based on the honor system. Oh, please, Agador, oh, please, please pick me up off the floor already now. He says that the majority of these people will never report back to an immigration hearing. Garza also points out that it's not just children being smuggled, but whole families coming across. And he asks a very important question, and this is the question. How do you expect a mother from Honduras that is crossing the country with 3 to 5 children, and they're all young-age children, how do you expect for that mother who comes to the country to actually begin working? This illegal alien who comes to this country with 3 to 5 kids is going to depend on our welfare system, on government assistance. And you know what? This is going to cost the taxpayer money. I'm going to play a bit of this soundbite as well, because this is really important. And I'm sorry. Hey, you got ahead of me there, little buddy. But take a listen to this, Agador. This is unreal.
Hector, I want to bring you in here, because these buses ended up in this town after these immigrants were flown to California from your state in Texas, where we are told the situation is growing almost out of control. Texas, the area where you just simply can't handle the influx of people there. Give us a sense of what you're seeing on the ground.
Well, thank you for having me. Basically, what we're seeing is, plain and simple, is a rampant abuse of our immigration system. We have a situation right now where our federal government is pretty much aiding and abetting and facilitating the smuggling of these individuals, of these illegal aliens. These illegal aliens cross our borders illegally. We apprehend these illegal aliens that pretty much surrender themselves because they know that they're getting a free pass. This is an organized, it's an orchestrated situation. It's orchestrated by the drug cartels, and it's pretty much a rampant abuse of our immigration system.
So, Hector, what do you suggest? Because it is a really interesting perspective to talk to somebody that is there at the border. This is your job. You see this as it ebbs and flows. Is it a sense that, you know, words getting back to people in those countries where things are tough, I know you agree with me on that, that it's easy to get across the border, that jobs await them. Is it a question of having the United States send message back and do some work on the ground there to say this practice has to end? We know the president has said as such, but does it need to go further?
Well, the changes need to start here in our country. We need to make sure that our Border Patrol agents have the proper resources and the proper funding to make sure that they can do their job. As it is right now, with this orchestrated and this organized situation that we're having, it's a border security crisis. Some people call it a humanitarian crisis, and to some degree it is, but it's a border security crisis. We have to make sure that our agents are able to do their job. At this point, about 70% of our Border Patrol agents in this area are being reassigned for processing duties. What that means is that we're leaving approximately 30% of our Border Patrol agents to actually do field work, to actually patrol our border. And what that creates is a very porous border where dangerous criminals, dangerous drugs are entering our country undetected, and they're making their way to our communities.
At Ruben, what do you say when you hear a border agent commenting that the U.S. government is aiding and abetting the flow of illegal immigration into this country?
Right. So I've written about immigration for 25 years. I've interviewed a number of Border Patrol agents. I know a number of Border Patrol agents, and I've written complimentary things about the Border Patrol agency over the years. I've never heard a Border Patrol agent say anything like that. I would say that it's given the fact that there's a gag order on Border Patrol agents in Texas, I'm surprised that he's even on this show saying these things, if in fact he's with the Border Patrol at all. But, you know, to the point of the government losing control of the border, well, we lost control of the border some time ago when we decided that we wanted cheap available labor. And that's the part of the discussion we never have. We always focus on the immigrants. We never focus on the employers. In this case, we're talking about kids from Central America who are not coming here for jobs, but maybe coming here in the greatest traditions of this country to seek refuge as a safe haven. And so we've mixed apples and oranges. The folks in Marietta did it. Your other guest has done it. We aren't thinking clearly about this issue.
Hector, can you quickly respond?
Of course, I am a Border Patrol agent, and I'm also the spokesperson for the National Border Patrol Council for our Laredo area. I must say that when I speak about that the government is facilitating the smuggling of these aliens, I'm going to paint a picture for you. You're at the river, you know, right at the border, trying to protect our country from dangerous drugs and criminals. And when you have a smuggler simply hand over these children and these family units to you, and all we're doing is basically getting their information, giving them a piece of paper, and asking them to report back to an immigration hearing based on the honor system. You know, that's what we're doing. That's what's happening right now. These illegal aliens are being released into our country, and the majority of these people are never going to report back to an immigration hearing. Now, I know that it is a crisis. We are seeing a lot of children. However, how do you expect that a mother from Honduras that's crossing the country with 3 to 5 children, and they're all young age children, how do you expect for that mother to actually come to this country and actually begin working? You know, this illegal alien that's coming to this country with 3 to 5 kids, that person is basically gonna depend on our welfare system, on our government assistance, and you know what? That is costing the taxpayer a lot of money.
Hector Garza, Ruben Navarrete, there's obviously so much more to delve into. We'll continue the conversation with you both another day. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for trying to have a reasonable conversation with us about something that's very passionately opposed on both sides.
Well, I hear passion, but, you know, one of the things we need to be talking more about is solutions, and
action.
There's not a lot of talk
action.
About that just yet.
Action.
And there you go. That was a clip. I put the link in the chat room for everybody. And that was Hector Garza, a Border Control patrol agent, talking about the issue of Obama's ambitions to open the Mexican border, Mexican-U.S. border. He wants to amalgamate. Angador, this is the sense I get, is that he wants to amalgamate Mexico and the United States. When you listen to these testimonials and you see the scenarios, as an American, How on earth does this make you feel? Like, I know you're in the northern state area, but people in California, Arizona, Texas, Florida living this, I mean, this must be a true nightmare. And it's the settlement program as well. They want to settle all these illegals, I call them, all over the United States. This is something called infiltration to the extreme. Like, this is infiltration on steroids.
Well, yeah, it is an invasion. And I just want to say that I admire people like Hector Garza who stepped up and talked about this to the danger of his own career. And this shows you how serious this problem is. I mean, he could be fired now. I mean, they could have already told him, yeah, sorry, Hector, you're not working for us anymore. You know, and there goes his living for his family. That he felt so strongly about it that he had to get on national TV and talk about it. And my heart goes out to people like him who are willing to, it's all well and good for people like us to sit here with the mic and talk about this stuff, but for someone like him to actually give up the possibility of his livelihood to talk about this problem and expose this problem to the world, it shows that he has a massive amount of manhood and a massive amount of loyalty to the United States of America, far more than this poser of a president that we have. I don't know if President Obama wants to. I don't know if he wants to merge the United States of America and Mexico, but I do think that he wants to create crises, and this is a huge one, and it's one that's setting Americans one against the other, as we heard in that first clip you played. There are people here who want to simply send the kids back. There are people here who want to feed the kids and let them stay. And there are people here who want to give the kids a sack lunch and put them on a bus or a plane. I would be in that last group myself, personally. And yes, Mr. Garza is quite right. I guess I should say Agent Garza. That is probably his title. He's absolutely right. That woman from Honduras who has zero skills and four or five kids is not going to be able to find a job. That's number one. Number two, she is not going to show up for any hearings. There's no way, because she's going to be afraid that if she shows up for some hearing, they're going to tell her, well, sorry, lady, you know, you don't have any skills. We really don't need any more unskilled laborers here in the United States of America. You know, you're going to have to go back. So, no, she's not going to show up for any of these, any hearing, any more than people are going to show up for classes to learn English or pay extra taxes or do any of this other junk that that our establishment Republican Party says is going to have to happen in order for for their version of immigration reform to take place.
Yeah.
That's all crap. It's all an illusion. And anyone who has common sense is going to see that it's simply not going to happen. We have to take a stand, a bold stand, like people like Mr. Garza and like people at the Marietta protest. Sorry, Bigfoot, I'm going to call it Marietta. Just like Georgia.
You hang out with a lot of Canadians.
Well, no. There's a city in Georgia called Marietta, and that's the one I'm going to call it. You know, I was born and raised in Texas, so I know a lot of what's going on down there. And some of the groups that are being pitted against each other are American Hispanics, because there are a lot of people, there are a lot of Hispanic Americans here who have been here for many generations. There is a proud tradition, for instance, of Hispanics who helped Texas gain their independence and became Texas citizens of the Republic back in the day. They resent these people who just ooze across the border and have no skills and no desire to adhere themselves to the American system. They simply say, oh, well, you know, this is just an they say that this is just an extension of Mexico. And they're going to treat the United States of America like that. As you say, this president is doing what he can to seed these people throughout the United States of America. So if you're listening to this show in archive and you happen to live in Idaho, hey, don't be surprised if suddenly you see somebody from, you see a young family from Guatemala living in your neighborhood, because it could easily happen.
There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not because they have a brown skin. No, sorry, progressives, don't go there. No, we're not talking about that. People in the United States of America, and I think I can also speak for Canada and the UK, we all welcome people who have skills and who want to come into our country and to contribute to them and to assimilate themselves into our larger cultures and become a part of those cultures. Their skin color is nothing. Their level of skill, though, is something, and it is something very important. And I want to speak for a moment, if I may, about the magnet. About the magnet. All right. One of the guys in your second clip mentioned the employers, the fact that that we don't train many of our resources on the employers who are part of the real problem here. If we don't turn off the magnet that brings illegal aliens here, they're just going to keep on coming. That is the real thing. And the magnet is the jobs. And that's one of the things that I would do as a plan to stop illegal immigration. And it's one of the things that I've had that I've talked about for years, is mandatory jail sentences for people who hire illegal aliens. And I mean mandatory jail sentences, not just a fine that they can pay and then move on. No, they're going to have to spend some jail time. That is one of the definite things. The other thing is a little bit harder. That's going to be to change our Constitution. It would require changing the 14th Amendment to remove the clause that allows for anchor babies. No more of that. All right? I would do that. Make it illegal to hire these people. And if they're not born in this country, they don't get welfare. That means no food stamps, no Section 8 housing, no Obamacare, no nothing. If you're not born in this country, tough. Head back home, if your country doesn't have the kind of services for the people that you think it needs to have, resolve the problems in your own country. It would be a better world if they did that. But it's easier for them to come here to the United States of America, where the magnet is turned on, and it's an electromagnet, and it's nuclear powered. If we're going to stop illegal immigration, we're going to have to shut off that magnet, and we're going to have to deal with people like President Obama and his supporters, and make sure that they don't conspire to bring these people in to overstress our welfare system.
And, the United States of America is quite generous with its amnesty programs and their immigration programs and their refugee programs, but they're not affording the same for the Americans. I'm thinking of a gentleman in particular, and that is Marine Sergeant Tamarussi, who took a wrong turn in Mexico and is still being held in a Mexican prison. Mexico has very, very strict policy about illegal entry. And Marine Sergeant Tamarussi All he did was he took a wrong turn. He wasn't there illegally. He just took a wrong turn, and they arrested him anyway. And he was told yesterday by a Mexican judge, and that his the judge's name is Fernando Benezes de Castillo, that Mexican customs agents asked him for money, weapons, and a vehicle to set him free. This is according to a posting by Mexican reporter Seth Bentenzos, and this was posted also on his Facebook page. Why are they holding this Marine Sergeant Agador? What is the motivation for them holding the Marine Sergeant? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, honestly, at this point, I don't know what it gets them either, because it is exposing them as the weak enemy that they are. You know, a Mexican ambassador was asked a few years ago whether Mexico is a strong friend or a weak enemy, and he said, "Oh, well, of course they're a strong friend." But you tell me what this sounds like. Someone who would hold someone like this Marine for 100 days and send their military helicopters over, or one of them anyway, over to shoot at our Border Patrol agents who are trying to stop this migration, this invasion. All right, does that sound like a strong friend or a weak enemy? Now, to me, it sounds like a weak enemy. Realistically speaking, if they dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, realistically speaking, this Marine should not have stayed in a Mexican prison any longer than maybe about 5 days, and then he should have been back in the States. Instead, Mexico is stuck in a stupid situation because their own people on the border are corrupt. The federales are corrupt. We've known that the federales have been corrupt for at least 35, 40 years. You know, it's gotten ridiculous. Now their military is just about as corrupt. And now they're stuck in this stupid situation where they won't release this Marine. I completely believe when they say that they wanted weapons and a vehicle and all that. In other words, they would have probably let the Marine go, but he wouldn't have had anything if they had. They would have probably let him walk across the border, and they would have kept his truck and his guns. You know, that's probably the way it would have been. You know, again, it's this kind of extortion that has gone on for years, usually on a smaller scale. But we're just hearing about this one, partly because this man is a Marine, and he has a very compelling story to tell. But this is a story, frankly, Kel, that's rather common, as far as some people go, who find themselves in Mexico and they find themselves in great straits. They'll often pay off the official with whatever they want, so that they don't wind up having to spend 100 days or more in a Mexican prison, as this Marine did. The Marine probably told him, "No, I'm not going to pay you guys off just because I took a wrong turn. To hell with that." The Marine took a stand. And as what happens so often, when you take a stand against corruption, corruption fights back with violence, and that is what we have seen. I am still hopeful that we can get this Marine out of prison, and I believe that the Mexican government is going to at some point release him, if for no other reason than because the news about it is getting out. It's not just new media like us that are talking about this, and it's not just people like Fox News in old media. Other people are beginning to hear about this. This is being talked about, and the Mexican government is looking worse and worse by the day. So I think that we will see some movement on this. I just wish that this White House had directed our State Department to really get on this and do something about this 95 days ago, or actually 100 days ago. If it had, then I don't think that the Marine would have spent longer, as I say, than about 5 days or so in a Mexican prison, and then he would be back in the United States.
I am... people are wondering. We are counter-jihadists, Agador and myself, and we discuss the issues of Islam exposed, and this is what we're doing. But we are talking about the porous border, the southern border between Mexico and the United States, and the influx of the illegals swimming across it right now, and actually being endorsed by the Obama administration. The reason why we are concentrating on this so much is because it's not just the the South Americans, the Central Americans. It's also the ability for the Muslims to swim across. ISIS is on the move, and they will take full advantage of this. You will see ISIS in the United States very soon if this continues. Obama and his affiliation with Islam is widely known. And this is another Obama ploy to inundate the United States of America with Islamists. This is another ploy, and we are being sold a bill of goods about humanitarian work. No, it's not. The people of the United States deserve much, much better. This is a totally abomination on the people of the United States of America. This is Obama's America, and the United States people, they will take it back. I am so very proud of people like Moving Forward and Bigfoot in particular that keep up the movement, and that is Operation American Spring, because it is needed. You people have to get your boots on the ground and get busy and ensure that this is full stop. Full stop. Right, Agador?
Oh, well, yeah, and it's not just the fish at the top where the head stinks the most. We have to also concentrate on the rest of the body of the fish. And that includes people like our own congressmen who won't do anything to resolve this problem. I think it's time that we, and yes, I want to put in my own bit of respect for Bigfoot, Moving, Patricia, people like that who were involved in Operation American Spring. Big, huge respect for that. You guys are out there representing millions of people. And yes, if there are only a few people out there right now, they still represent all of us, and I still have very big respect. But as I was talking about the fish, all right, we have a Congress right now that will not move to try and impeach this president and his attorney general and other people in his administration. Governor Palin was calling, I believe, for the impeachment of President Obama, and what does John Boehner, our illustrious Speaker of the House, say? That he disagrees. Well, we need to begin to concentrate on people like Mr. Boehner until he does agree. And we need to make sure that we don't support the people who are doing nothing to try and stop this administration. I mean, it's really great to have these hearings and to... these Daryl Issa hearings and everything to hear these people talk to the members of this administration and read them the Riot Act and everything, and that's fun video to see and all of that, but they have to actually start doing something. And
yeah,
the people of the United States of America, the constituents of these Congress people are going to have to start making things uncomfortable for them. No, I'm not talking about violence, but making things uncomfortable for them until they begin to do the right things. There is a system here in the United States of America for dealing with presidents who have gone rogue, and we need to use it.
Absolutely. We have somebody on the line that would like to join us, and this is 2609. I'm going to bring him on or her on right now, Agador. We're going to take a break in a few moments because I have another soundbite that I want to play, but it's one I have to tee up. But let's take 2609, Agador.
Hi, Call Me Mom.
Hi, 2609.
Hi,
Mom! This is Call Me Mom, and you can hear her. She is, no, Mom, I'm just so overwhelmed. Hey, how you doing?
Good enough. And yourself?
Well, shut up.
Well, I'm calling because I was mentioning in the chat room that on my daily call to my representative yesterday, because I call my representative daily,
God bless you,
impeachment over Benghazi. And if not Benghazi, I have a list.
It's getting to be a long one, isn't it, Mom?
It sure is. And when I asked the aide what was being done about this Marine, the aide had no idea who this Marine was or what was going on. I had not heard of it at all.
Oh, no, that's what you were saying. Yeah, see, I saw you say something to that effect in the chat room, but I'm a bit away from the screen, so I didn't quite get to see it. So the aide didn't – this your congressman aide, your congressman's aide – didn't even know the name of the Marine. Did they know who you were talking about when you said that they were the one being held in Mexico?
Nope.
They didn't even know that.
So I informed him.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But you know, your congressmen and their aides are not omniscient. They don't know everything. It's important that you call them and tell them. And call them every day. They're polite. Takes about 3 minutes. But
that's terrific, Mom. You know what? I mean, I really appreciate that you do that. And more people should if their congressman would do anything. I would call my congressman here in Vermont, but he's the congressman from Vermont, and he's really not going to do anything about anything that I want. But there are plenty of others out there that people need to work on. And they can work on them. And, yes, what you do every day, that's wonderful.
I've got to go because I've got someone at the door. But keep going with the show.
Okay.
Good job.
Mom, I want to thank you so much. I listen to your show. I can't always be there in the chat room, but I listen in archive. I don't think I've missed a show of yours for 2 years, and you are the irate, tireless minority, and people can catch you Wednesdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, thank you, Kellen. I catch your shows when I can. Good job, and keep it going. Okay, bye-bye.
And, Mom, thanks for all you're doing. If it weren't for people like you, I wouldn't have the stamina to continue what I'm doing.
Well, keep going. Okay,
thanks.
I'm going now for real. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And we will take that break right now. And I did have a song here. I'm not sure where it went. Things tend to disappear on me. But I did have a really good one. And I think that, you know, what we should be doing, Agador, is what Mom's doing. And I always say letter writing campaign. And I was actually speaking with Noe 90 about this. And he said, I was explaining to him what I was doing about my letter writing campaign here in Canada. And there is one going on in the United States right now, too, thank goodness, that Noe made a suggestion. And he said, it may cost you, you know, a few more pennies, but that's okay. What you do is write, like, don't email them because it gets thrown into the garbage, that sort of thing. But write a letter, put it in an envelope, stamp it and register it, because then they have to read it. You know, if they're going to assign for a letter, they're going to be a little more curious about it, don't you think, Agador?
Oh, certainly. Certainly they might be a little bit more curious about it, and, excuse me, they're going to have to devote more staff to deal with it. And that, if enough, they get enough letters like that, it might be a little bit more of an indication to them of something that was going wrong. And I got to tell you, it blows my mind that the aide for this congressman didn't even know of the circumstances of the Marine that's being held in Mexico at this point.
Yeah.
It's understandable that you might not know the guy's name, but that you don't know that he's being held and you don't know the circumstances. You know, it's all over new media, the stuff that we talk about. You know,
yeah.
It's on Fox, and it's beginning, as I've said, to nose its way into other media. But she does bring up a great point, and I want to reemphasize it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That is that these people get involved so much with their Washington insider BS, and frankly, they get their heads so far up their own rear ends that they don't hear the news. They actually have to be told about things that are going on in the outside world. I've been to D.C. four times to talk to congressmen over the years, and it is really a bizarre world when you get inside that beltway and you start talking to these people. You can really tell the insular nature of everything that's going on there when you go into those buildings and start walking around and talking to those people and everything. It really is a different planet from what's just outside of that beltway, even from just what's inside Washington, D.C. itself. If you don't believe me, you can ask Ken McClinton, the exceptional conservative. You know, I'd love to have him come on the show sometime and talk about that very point.
He's brilliant. That man is absolutely brilliant.
He is. And it's a completely different world.
I lost him for a few weeks, but I found him again. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it is a completely different world. And so they don't know. They don't know about a lot of these things that go on. And right there, you know, honestly, Mom's Call was the most useful one that I've heard in a lot of years, the most useful demonstration that I've heard in a while for the old axiom, you know, you have to give your congressman a call and tell him what's going on. Because sometimes even if it's something that, you know, is on the news and it's in your face every day, they still don't get it. And they still don't get it because, sadly, they don't live on the same planet as the rest of us. And we have to fix that.
We absolutely do. I have another clip that I want to play, but I have to tee it up. It's rather wiggy. And so I have to kind of move my cursor around and get it set up perfectly. But what we're going to do, Agador and myself, we're going to take a break, and this will also offer everybody to refresh their coffees, their teas, their bottled water, or, you know, whatever, and grab a snack. And Agador and myself, we're going to see you back here in 4.5 minutes.
Between the devil
Everybody, welcome back to Islam Exposed with your panelists, Cal Fritzy, Agador, and a missing Tim Burton. We've been talking about issues of the south border of the United States, and with good reason. This is a very, very, very important story that we have to convey. And it does tie into the issues of Islam, because we know that Islam, ISIS in particular, they're going to take advantage of this. And you're not getting the hapless family from the Honduras. You're going to be getting the Shahids and the jihadists swimming across as well. This is why this story is so very important. And this is why me in Canada, we're paying very close attention to what Obama is up to. And Ecuador, I really want to thank you because you have the best insights as to what's going on down there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know if I have the best insights, but I have an insight. And I'm just wondering, do we want to do a quick rundown of the chat box since this is the second hour?
Absolutely. You know what? You're a mind reader. Ecuador, I think that would be totally, totally perfect. Well, first of all, like I say, you're listening to Islam Exposed, and believe me, there's going to be a lot more coming down the pike on this program. We're not going to necessarily be exposing the exploits of Islam, but we're going to be putting the politicians' feet to the fire on this particular program. It's a brand new program. It's going to be very interesting, and we want you to stay tuned. But the people that are joining us, Ecuador, is wonderful. We have Bear Hunter joining us. We have Bigfoot. Call Me Mom. And Luchadora, Paul Alexander, Dito Esposito.
Hello.
And have Sweet Sue from New Mexico listening on the line. If you guys have shows and links and everything, please put them in the chat room because we are all in this together. And the more people that listen to your voice and read your blogs, the better. So everybody, put your blogs, put your shows, everything in the chat room. This is a very important topic. This is a matter of national security in the United States. Canada is very, very, very distressed by this because we have, you have the coyotes in Mexico that bring across these illegals, and they're aliens. The more ambitious swimmers come up in Canada, and we are very, there's a lot of trepidation in Canada about what Obama is doing. And so, of course, this is very important to everybody. This is important to North America. I have another clip here, Ecuador. I got it teed up. And I want to play this, and I want to see what you think about this. This is here. I'm just going to play it.
And this is good. This is what I talked about in the first hour, Charles Krauthammer on fences. Joining us now from Washington with his plan, Fox News political analyst Charles Krauthammer. All right, go.
Well, let me preface by saying this is not new. This is not a response to the catastrophic Hispanic vote for Republicans in 2012 when Romney lost something like 72-29. I wrote this in 2006 when George W. had carried almost half Hispanic vote. So this is not a way to win the vote. This is a way to do the decent and the right thing. I got two premises. Number one, Americans are a humane people, and they don't want to see 11 million other human beings living in the shadows. Number two, however, Americans believe in a sovereign America who chooses who comes in and who doesn't. Therefore, I think that if you could assure the American people that you would secure the border, they would then, in overwhelming numbers, 70, 80, 90%, say, okay, we're going to legalize the cohort that's here now because there won't be another. However, if they feel there's no enforcement, and we legalize 11 million today, and there'll be another 11 million in 10 years, the way Reagan got swindled with his amnesty in 1986, then they won't do it. So you got to secure the border, and when you've done that and had that certified by independent, outside, nonpartisan people, retired judges, pick who you want. And all you got to do is certify that the river of illegals has become a trickle. You're not going to eliminate it totally. But a river becomes a trickle. You've closed the border, then I would legalize. I wouldn't give citizenship. The younger generation, yes, but those who broke the law should not have a role in our politics. But everything else, a green card, the right to work, protection, all that, they should have in time if they pay the fine learn English, etc. That's my plan.
How do you secure the border, Charles?
All right, here's what I've been on for years. You start with a fence. It's very simple. People say, oh, fences don't work. You make a ladder. Well, then you build two fences, triple strand fences. San Diego did that in the mid-90s, and within a decade, the illegal immigration rate at that point was reduced by 90%, and people ended up going through other places like Arizona. If fences don't work, why is there one around the White House?
And, ta-da! It's that simple.
Ta-da-da-da!
All right, next up, I've got a piece from a piece of audio from Captain Dale Dye on KFI, and he showed up all day on Friday, July the 4th, subbing for John and Ken here in Los Angeles on KFI. And if you don't know who Captain Dale Dye is, I'm going to put his Wikipedia page in there so you can read. He's got a great pedigree. He's been in the military.
Might,
he does a lot of work on movies.
Okay. I might pause it there for a second there because there is a lot more about this than, but I don't want to inundate the show with all sorts of sound bites. But Agador, we do have a caller on the air who would like to join us, and that is 0240. So let's bring him on and see what he or she has to say. And 0240, welcome to the program. How are you today, and what's your comment question?
I am Ken McClinton from the Exceptional Conservative Show, and I'm calling to find out why you have not been found in my chat role in the past couple of weeks.
Get her, kid. Get her, my friend.
I don't know where to
find you. She is not in the good chat box. She is not in the good chat box. Kel, I will send you the link to the good chat box for Ken's show. There's a good one that you've got to be in.
I don't know where you are, Ken. I've missed you so much. I was speaking with Agador, as a matter of fact, last night, and I was saying, where the hell is he?
The most beautiful Canadian on radio. I am so glad to be on your program this evening. And Ag is just the best.
Oh, Ken.
Ken,
you know
Ken,
how great it is to hear your voice? Oh, my gosh.
So,
I have a funny feeling that I have a lot of archive listening to do.
No, okay. I got to ask Ken. All right, Ken, how's that work trip you're on progressing, my friend?
As I'm sitting here in my jacuzzi in my penthouse in Las
right.
Vegas.
Right. Yeah.
I want you to know that I am working harshly. I am a taskmaster even unto myself, and I refuse to let any leisure come upon me in this particular work experience.
May the Lord be with you as you engage in these Herculean labors, my friend.
Thank you, sir. At least someone will be. Oh, I'm such a cruel taskmaster to myself.
No, oh, Ken, I know you moved your show to another website, and I'm trying to get into it, and it's like, where is he? Where is he? Where the hell is Ken?
He's on Pundit Press Radio, and he's at SHR Media.
Oh,
and Ken, where else are you, my friend? You're on like two or three other places too, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm also an AC Nation, and you can always go to my website, theexceptionalconservativeshow.com, and you can always find
that's
me.
That's right.
That pretty picture with me being held by a clown. The clown is a very beautiful one, but stare at my picture. No, don't do that. You might break your camera or something, or at least your eyes.
But how are you doing on the other websites? How are you doing on the other networks, on the other radio programs, Ken? How's it been going? God, I miss you.
I miss you too, Kel, and I miss you off a rooster. But number one on SA, number one on Pundit Press Media, and... Yeah, and not boasting, not bragging. But I'm also number one at home. My wife actually listens to my show. So there you go.
Well, that's, do you tie her to a chair?
You know I did. Chain her up. It works later after the show, too.
Sit down, woman.
Yep. Well, Ken, I wonder if you could expand a little bit on what you were talking about the other night. We're talking about the border situation. And
oh, yeah.
As soon as you said the word migration, it clicked for me. I didn't need further explanation, but you explained it very well. And if you could help us out with this, I would appreciate it, because what we're doing here is we're demonstrating how this invasion from the South can and will bring in Islamists who want to do our country harm. So could you give us a little bit on that, sir?
Not a problem, Ag, and I thank you for being a loyal listener to my program, Ag. You shall be receiving your...
Hey, I am,
your...
too. I just missed you for a few weeks. Come on. Hey, I haven't missed a show for over a year, and all of a sudden everything goes craziness, and I can't find my Ken. But yes, I interject. But yeah, Ken, like Agador said, could you expand on that?
Sure. Quite frankly, the United Nations has been working on a project called the Global Migration Group, and it is composed of NGOs as well as organizations within the United Nations. UNICEF is a part of it. The WHO is a part of it, the World Health Organization. Also, the World Bank is a part of it. So this is an international... and also the entity that's overseeing it is the International Labor Organization, which is a part of the United Nations, which has its purpose to promote Marxist strategies and to tear down the border between employer and employee. So virtually you have the United Nations, over 2,800 non-governmental organizations and the 155 member states working to tear down everyone's borders. And so they're working on an idea of organized chaos, or in their words, managed migration. And under managed migration, individuals will have an opportunity to go into other people's countries without need of identification or to be subject to the rules of those particular countries, but they also leave those countries with political, economic, and cultural, social recognition. So virtually they can come into your country, vote in your elections, use your welfare benefits, take care of themselves in your public educational system, and then go back home with the substances of their potential gain. What a great thing that seems to be, right? Well, no. What happens is you're tearing down everyone's borders. And when you have torn down everyone's borders, guess what we have become? One world. And in that particular case, the one world order is introduced, which opens the door to tyranny. And this is the problem with this, and we're going to be talking about this next week in greater detail as well, and as well closing out tonight. There are only two groups in the world who have a great passion for tyranny. The first group is a religious group. No, it's not your local Christian church. It is the imam who is sitting in that temple preaching dastardly evil things to a great many people. And I love you, Kel, because you have done a wonderful job exposing Islam to the world for all its ills and all of its worst gains. And the tyrannists have been waiting with the Muslim Brotherhood. They have a place in a skyscraper overlooking Arlington, Virginia, which also overlooks the White House. So the Muslim Brotherhood is here. Then you have Detroit and all the other major cities where there is a languishing unemployment but well-educated group of people. doesn't that sound like Egypt? So when you have these particular quiet storms coming together, it opens up the avenue for individuals to create crowds and mobs, and we're going to be talking about that tonight on our show, the difference between a crowd and a mob, and how that impacts what they're doing on the border. And in addition to that, these individuals from the Islamic world will attempt to supplant our republic, supplant our laws. The problem with that is the eco-terrorists and liberals, the of the world, also want to be rulers of the world. Well, they have definitely two things that separate them. One, each one believes that they have a God, but the eco-terrorists pray to themselves. The Islamics pray to Muhammad because Allah does not exist. The second thing that separates them is that the eco-terrorists and the liberals don't mind homosexuality and immorality. That is not necessarily what the Islamics believe. So what you're actually leading to is eventually a war between those who are on the far left and those who are in the far crazy zone of Islam.
Well, yeah. I would just like to I'd just like to interject if I could, Ken. This is something I've been saying for a while about the one worlders or just plain progressives who want to bring on a socialist world socialist hegemony. All right. Voltaire once said, if God did not exist, it would be necessary to create him. Now, these people who want to have a one-world government know that there is a need out there among people for religion, for faith, for some place to direct their charitable notions and all of that. But Christianity does not fall within within what the one worlders want to do, because Christianity will not tolerate tyranny. Islam is tyrannical as an ideology in and of itself, so it is perfectly mated to what these people want in a world socialist order. So if you could wind up after the war you're speaking of with a world socialist caliphate. And I think that is the vision that some of these people have, and I think that is why you see so many progressive leaders giving Islam so much sway. How do you feel about that?
I agree wholeheartedly with you, Ag. And quite frankly, we talked about the marriage of Christianity and Islam last week on our program. We're going to return back to that. Because in urban America, you are finding more and more seminarians who are entering our churches and entering places of faith and instituting Chrislam. You have Rick Warren with us. You have evangelicals who are trying to marry Christianity with Islam, all to keep peace. And there was, and I just happen to have it right here with my handy-dandy pile of stuff that I organize and don't ever actually go through when I have time on my show. There is a writing called A Common Word Between Us and You. It is the Royal Ayat al-Bayt Institute for Islamic Thought. It was written in 2009 in Jordan. And this is what Rick Warren and the rest of them are signing on to, A Common Word Between Us and You. And they virtually look at the four things that make us common with Islam. But what they fail to realize is while we have these commonalities amongst us, there is one thing and one thing only that will always separate us from Islam, and why that we can never have a joyous marriage between ourselves, a faith, and their religion. And there is a difference between two. Basically, we believe in the Father and Son. There is no father-son relationship in Islam. And as such, you do not have a mode of compassion available in Islam. You have a God that will either take you or not take you, depending on the way he feels on a certain day. And so when we look at the Christ that saved us, when we look at the Christianity that actually saved the world from the darkness of tyranny, we look at the Roman Empire, you can look at all the other empires that followed it. And you can look at Africa. Christianity saved Africa. So when you're looking at Christianity, it is the saving grace for the world. It allows, and even when you look at countries that institute Christianity, they also have a tolerance for other religions. And unfortunately, there is no tolerance for other faith, for another faith inside of Islam, and certainly not a tolerance for any other religion. So we're looking at a situation where Christianity has been ridiculed, manipulated, chastised, cast aside. And last week we had the official bishops' meeting of Catholic priests. Catholic bishops in Washington D.C. A member of the White House administration visited. And made the statement that even Jesus was a refugee. So we've had we have the world who has taken Christianity and turned it asunder, and now you're importing pastors into churches to do the very same thing. We are calling right now on members who really believe in the Word of God to truly find Bible-believing places where you can pray, where you can go, where you can worship, because simply put, you are being betwixt and between by not only the world and its leaders, but also ministers in this time of folly. You definitely need to understand that Islam has as its goal to eradicate Christianity and to eradicate any other that might be a challenge to it. The ones on the progressive left have the same desire to eliminate Christianity and to eliminate anything that might be a threat to that. And that's why Ag is absolutely right. The marriage between the Marxists and the Islamists is an effectual one, which will bring on a tyranny and a world order that will make even the Roman Empire look dismal, look happy in comparison to the dismal manner that this will come upon us.
You're absolutely right.
And
Agador
is always bang on about these things, and this is why I'm so proud that Agador is sitting beside me on our new endeavor. But Ken, we are so grateful that you're gracing our phone line, and I promise I will be back. I didn't know where to find you. I tried. But I do have a question for you, and I think Agador would agree with me in that there is a real issue in the United States, in particular, when it comes to Christianity. And there is one person in particular that has been bothering me, and that is Glenn Beck. He's a Mormon, and he is endorsing the Krishlam. When we have powerful voices on the air, Glenn Beck, he has quite the listenership. It's very disturbing when I hear him talk about Chris Slim. How are we going to rectify this? People listen to these radio hosts, and Ken, how are we going to deal with people like Glenn Beck?
Number one, they need to listen to Kel and her show.
Hey.
Exactly.
And number two, they need to go to the exceptionalconservativeshow.com after your show and make that a bookmark on their
Bingo.
On their little browser so that they can always come to it. And they need to understand and recite the words on that particular page. Number one, I am the mainstream media. And I can tell you that. We are the new media. We are the ones who set the course and the direction for how America and the rest of the world shall run. We are the new voices, and we will no longer tolerate any other voices that belie freedom, liberty, and sanity. First and foremost, regarding Glenn Beck and Rick Warren and every other evangelical who has signed on board with either A, the echo terrorists on one side of progressivism, or B, those who happen to be of the Islamic sway. You are both fallacious. You are both folly. You are both wrong. And in fact, I won't listen to you any longer. And as a result of that, because I'm not listening to you any longer, you're no longer a threat to me. A threat to me is someone who doesn't listen to those people who know what is right and know what is good and will follow them. I tell you to follow me as I follow Christ. So, quite frankly, it is the responsibility for every one of these people who's in your chat room, every one of those people who's in your archive, every one of these people who's listening to you live, it is their responsibility to repudiate Glenn Beck, to repudiate Rick Warren, and tell them, you know what, just like we're going to tell Costco for what you did with America, I'm not shopping
Thank
at
you.
Costco. By the way, hey, Glenn, guess what? I'm not reading The Blaze anymore, and I'm not actually being a part of your particular business empire. I'm not listening to your program anymore, and I'm not subscribing to you anymore. When they begin to see the dollars and the cents, that's when it acts. When we see Christ, that's how the people who are on the right side understand what is right and what is good.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, and the number three thing you need to do is listen to the Unpleasant Blind Guy on Pundit Press, of course.
That's all right, Ken.
Glenn Beck is a good man. He's a good man, but he's being led astray. I think you know he spent a lot of money, and right now I think he's afraid. He's being led astray by people who are telling him a lot of nonsense. This is a man, you know, he wants to be a Martin Luther King. But here's the problem with Glenn Beck being a Martin Luther King. Back in the day when Martin Luther King was giving his speeches and inspiring people all over the United States of America, Dr. King had the cooperation of the American media, and rightfully so. I'm just old enough to barely remember some of his speeches and things on the late 60s being on the television. And it was really inspiring to everyone, and it changed minds. And Beck thinks he's going to do that, but he isn't going to do that because he's not right, and the media isn't going to cooperate with him, and thereby he has begun to move to the left and to lose people in droves. And if he's going to advocate Chrislam, then he's going to lose even more people because there are going to be people like Kel Christie, the Red Fox blogger, Dave Miller, the Unpleasant Blind Guy, and Ken McClinton, the exceptional conservative out there in new media, who are going to be telling people, who are going to be exposing Islam, who are going to be exposing the secular left, and who are going to be telling people that this is not the way to go. In fact, this is going to lose, if you're on the right, this is going to lose you everything. If you're on the left, this is going to lose you everything. If you believe in civilization, this is going to lose you everything. You have got to stick with the golden rule. Now, no, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a every Sunday go to church Christian and all that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
That Tim Burton, who isn't with us today, but who will be with us next time, says our countries basically follow Judeo-Christian ethics, and that is the golden rule. Now,
and
whether people
Magna Carta.
Yeah, where whether people like it or not, that's based on Christianity, and that creates an atmosphere of freedom, an atmosphere of tolerance, and an atmosphere of love, none of which you get with rampant progressivism or Islam.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah, Agador, absolutely, and that is it. That's it, Ken, is that, of course, England gave us the Magna Carta and the golden rule of man-made law, but we also follow the biblical law of love, peace, and fellow man. Islam does not follow that. Islam is a collective. Well, they're not a collective. It's a mindset. They speak through others. They do not have individual thought. At least Christianity allows us to have our own individual thought and that we can express ourselves. That is incapable within Islam. And Ken, I don't know what to say. Everything you and Agador are saying is absolutely right on the money. I am getting a little fed up with this infiltration in North America and in Europe. I'm getting sick and tired of Obama's ambitions in infiltrating the United States of America with these illegals from South and Middle America, and Mexico is allowing them to swim across the borders. Ken, when you open up your morning daily and see that, 1,200 arrived today, and they're going to be settled in a town near you, Ken, how does that make you feel?
Well, as for Prince William County, I'm quite certain that your arrival will be very well-coordinated and organized, as it is a migration effort on the part of this administration to align itself with the third group of laws. We already have left behind the Bill of Rights. We are no longer a constitutional country, if you ask me. We have instituted socialism in our country with Obamacare. So we've instituted Franklin Delano Roosevelt's second Bill of Rights, and this administration is moving so suddenly and so quickly towards the UN Declaration of Human Rights that it's leaving everyone's head spinning. Your stay in Prince William County, however, may not necessarily be a good one, because those in Prince William County have laws that are very strict on immigrants coming in and defiling and disorganizing their community. In fact, they're probably one of the more strict ones in the entire country. So I don't expect that to happen or that their stay is going to be very long. And the reason why this administration has chosen Prince William County is to take on the challenge of a cultural identity. We believe in the law of order. We believe in the law of the land. However, if you believe in the Declaration of Human Rights according to the United Nations, you believe, quite frankly, that it is the world that must make this decision. Anyone who does anything that's less civil in this particular world for our society needs to be challenged. We see that in the court system with the Obamacare pieces and everything else. So the bottom line is, this is not a nicety. He is doing this on purpose to challenge Prince William County.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
he's
up
not
to,
acting as a humanitarian. He's purposeful. He's purposeful, and he is determined to usurp the stabilization of the United States of America. This is why the rest of the world is watching so closely at this point.
Well, now, hang on just a second here. Now, I've got to ask Ken one more thing, because I know the show is winding down. But, Ken, Call Me Mom called in a bit ago on this show, and demonstrated to us very well why it is that people should call their congressman. And I expanded on that a little bit and said that, you know, in Washington, D.C., inside that beltway, it's a completely different planet from everywhere else in the United States of America, including Washington, D.C. itself. Now you live there, okay?
Yeah.
And I would, I would like your thought on that real quick, you know, because I really believe this is the case. You walk those halls in those buildings in the Longworth House Office Building or the Cannon House Office Building. You know, you walk those halls, you talk to those people, and it's almost as if they live in a completely different world. And the reason that I bring all this up is because we have to begin to. Well, not begin. We have to keep on addressing our congresspeople, because sometimes they don't understand that these issues are out there and real to us and happening, and we have to bring this to their attention. So if you can, I'd like you to tell me what you think of what I said, that it's a completely different planet, even from the same city in which the Beltway is in.
It is indeed. And I'm in Vegas today, and will be until Saturday. And
you're on the road again?
Yes, I am. Yes,
yeah, he's
I
on
am.
His working trip. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
don't lose
working,
too much
working.
Money at the blackjack tables, my friend.
Doing it for Jesus.
There you go. There you go.
Everyone heard God's name, right? No. You remember the movie The Last Emperor of China?
Yeah.
That is a beautiful movie if you ever watch it. But really, the problem is that American citizens who believe in the Constitution are the last emperors of Washington, D.C. We have been, and I had a conversation this morning with an economist and financial guru, and he felt as if we have come to the end of America. And I'm beginning to feel the very same way. We concurred on that. Simply that we have always been sold patriotism and economic prosperity through capitalism, and I agree in both of those particular areas. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm a patriot. I believe in the free markets. I believe in all those particular things. The unfortunate thing is that we have insulated ourselves as patriots and as citizens of the Constitution with the fort or the construction of the Constitution around us. Those on Capitol Hill have built a fort for themselves in a central city in which they become the rulers of a great nation. Their interest is not your interest. Their concern is not your concern. Their desires are not your desires. So, yes, if you can go in and break down that city with your phone calls, with your faxes, with your personal letters, with your trips and your arrivals to them, or sometimes without even letting them know that you're coming, if you can do those things, you can get to them. But understand this. There is a device that you have that is better than any of those particular things mentioned, and that is your ability to vote in and vote out those people that don't agree with your fort of the Constitution and prefer to be in that last emperor city in which they take hold of the entire country and place us under the slavery of their doctrines and their beliefs and their values.
And well said, and that is wrapped up in a tight, tidy little bowl. And Ken, I want to thank you, as does Agador, for calling in. We are wrapping down the show, and this is our debut show. Hey, Ken, you have a show tonight?
Well, yes, I do.
I'll find you. I promise. I've been jonesing for you for 2 weeks, and I'm so determined to get back in that chat room because, you know what? Love you, Ken.
Love you, Kel.
I'll get to the links, Ken. I'll get to the links, man.
I do have a show tonight, and we will be doing it from the casino.
Oh, cool. Tell everybody exactly where they can find you.
They can come to the ExceptionalConservativeShow.com tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight we will have with us Judge Bert Richardson, who is in the great state of Texas. We will be talking about his pursuit of the Texas Superior Court of Criminal Court, which he has to be voted into, and why it's very important individuals who have the opportunity to vote should vote for constitutional constructionists when it comes to judicial appointments. So that's who we have on the air tonight.
I am so going to be there because I found, I have your website and you have all the links there, and I'm such an idiot for not even paying attention to the links.
No, you're not. You're okay.
I thought you left me altogether, Ken. Ken, I thought you left
me. No. Let me just say this about that Glenn Beck thing and why people should leave. When Glenn Beck moved, he told everybody where he moved to, and people followed him. When I told everyone that was moving away from the chat room on BTR, I received a lot of angst and a lot of resentment. But you know what? It's been 2 months, and now the chat roll is really beginning to explode with people coming in. And so I'm going to encourage everyone.
Absolutely. Oh. And we want to thank Ken so very much for joining the program tonight.
Totally.
That was Ken of the... I know.
The exceptional conservative.
And his call dropped in mid-sentence, but that's okay. You know what? We got the gist of everything that he was conveying, and that's perfect. And, Agador, we are down to our last 5 minutes. And this has been our debut show. This is called Islam Exposed. We concentrated very much on the Mexican-USA border. It was important to do so, however, because you never know what's swimming across that border. It could be ISIS. It could be Al-Qaeda. It could be Islamists in general. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America is the mainstay in the Western world. As the United States go, so does the rest of us. And we are paying close attention globally. Agador, what do you think? What do you think of our debut show? We did good? We did good? What?
I think we did great. I think, I want to thank Call Me Mom for calling in. It was a beautiful call and an excellent one that I'm going to remember. And I want to thank Ken McClinton, the exceptional conservative, for calling in and bringing some of his spark and pizzazz to the show. It's absolutely fantastic. It helped make it a really good first pilot show for this. And I just want to say that we are going to expose Islam, continue to do it, each week, right here, 1 o'clock. And who knows, we may even be more places than just this one. But we're going to be here, and I'm sure next time Tim Burton is going to be back with us. I believe he had to run an errand or something like that. Either that or he's still taking care of his whale. But... he'll be back with us. And Kel, it has been an honor and a privilege to be in this show with you. And I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody in the chat box. I want to thank everybody who's listening in archive or who might be listening live. Thank you, Sue from New Mexico. Love you, sweetie. And back to you, Kel.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to close out. Thank you very much for joining our debut show, Islam Exposed. We will see you back here next Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. And remember, it is mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. Have a great night, Agador.
And you too, Kel. Have a great night, everyone.
They shout them in your face.
All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Backstabbers. They shout them in your face.
All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
All you fellas who have someone and you really care. Yeah. Then it's
they do.